The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Browns training camp gets underway today. Fans will be invited out into Berea. 8 practices. The first is on Friday. That'll be a 2 p.m. practice. Saturday, 9:30 in the morning. Monday, July 28th, 2 p.m. Same thing for Tuesday, the 29th. Wednesday, the 30th, 9:30 practice in the morning there. So you'll be up bright and early. Friday, August 1st is a 2 p.m. Saturday, August 2nd is a 9:30 practice again. And then Monday, August 4th, the final open practice to fans. That will be a 2 p.m. practice. For me, though, I will be out there this afternoon around noonish for player availability.
I can sense the excitement in your voice, Daryl.
I am looking forward to seeing Kevin Stefanski and the guys. I'm looking forward to watching them go through the paces of their first official full team workout. Going to be a little shorter today. They do the ramp up period here now.
Sure. No need to go too hard on July 23rd.
You know, is this where I go old man yells at cloud and complain about how long training camp is?
I don't know that. Sure.
I just think it's too long now with the condition that these players are in physically.
See, I feel like the old man yells at cloud take would be that it's not long enough, that back in your day it was tougher and rougher.
No. The training camp is plenty long enough. I feel that it is entirely too long. They need to shorten this thing up. Look, last open practice is August 4th. The Browns aren't going to play a regular season game. Week one's not until September 7th. That's over a month.
That's a very long time.
It's ridiculously long. And I'm not blaming the Browns for that. Of course, they're going to go to Carolina for a joint practice. They're going to go to Philadelphia for a couple of joint practices. That's where the rubber meets the road. Those joint practices. Because they tend to tell us just how this season is going to go. Just like last year against the Vikings, right? Remember the practice where like the offensive line couldn't get set.
Yes.
They could not do the basic function of lining up and not moving until the football was snapped. Like, every play was a pre-snap penalty. And then there was the Deshaun seeing ghosts every time a Viking defender broke through. And so, I will admit, at the time, I myself downplayed it a little bit, and I probably shouldn't have.
Well, also, wasn't the defense awesome in that setting, too?
Yep.
Like, wasn't the defense...
Yeah,
terrorizing Sam Darnold, and yes, that certainly did not carry over because the Browns' defense wasn't as good, and Sam Darnold turned out to be great last year.
But the Browns ended up leading the NFL in pre-snap penalties last year.
Sure.
We know what happened with Deshaun pre-Achilles injury.
He was bad.
That you're being very generous.
He was very bad.
And so that was a sign of things to come. I remember when the Giants came to town. Same thing. I remember practices against the Bills. The Eagles slapping them around for a couple of days. Like, the joint practices are where you really get the pulse of where the team is and what it's going to be like. So the trip to Carolina, the trip to Philadelphia, going to be very, very important for this football team as they get ready for the 2025 season. Of course, Danny, like, we are going to talk about the quarterback situation until we're blue in the face, even after they have a resolution. And by resolution, I mean they, I guess,
pick somebody
out of a hat. Flip coin. I mean, I don't think that Kevin Stefanski is going to go full Romeo Crennel here and start flipping coins. But, you know, I don't know. I think that'd be pretty entertaining if the Browns are always looking for some good content for social media. That'd be some pretty cool content, right?
I think that'd be pretty embarrassing.
But in a good way, right? In a fun way.
I don't know
way.
That embarrassing is ever in a good way, but continue.
I don't know. People think that when I do stuff, it's embarrassing in a good way.
Yeah, I don't know if an organization...
Because it gives them
that.
The comedic material to pick on me. That's correct. That's
yes.
what I mean.
Yes. Yes. I don't know that the Browns need more of that. I think they've got plenty.
You feel the jokes just write themselves.
I do.
Okay.
I think they wear the jokes on their heads.
Oh, so you're not going to be... You're not.
That's
on
later today, Danny.
Yeah, that's later today.
Oh, right.
Big reveal coming later today.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be brown. Spoiler alert, it's going to be brown.
I said, they don't need to flip a coin to decide who the quarterback is.
Right.
I think we are there.
But while we incessantly focus on every little detail when it comes to the quarterbacks, you know, who's talking to who on the practice field, who's getting reps, when, with who, what flavor of Gatorade are they drinking during the down portions, right? How does Kevin Stefanski split these guys up? My belief is he's just going to keep doing what he did during the offseason program minicamp, put the rookies together, put the two vets on separate fields so you maximize the time for your reps. But I want to talk about the rest of this football team because, yeah, no question about it, how this season is going to go how the quarterbacks go,
yeah.
Right? And that's the way it is every year. Good quarterback play usually means you're going to have a good year. If you have a quarterback carousel, either because of injury or because none of these guys can play, you're probably in for a very long year. And I would argue that if we do see Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders at some point, it's been a long year. But there are other things to watch at training camp. Again, first open practice for you fans is going to be on Friday at 2 p.m. Out in Berea. I am intrigued by two position groups. I'm intrigued by the defensive line, and I'm intrigued by the linebacker core. Not so much the wide receivers. I have way too many questions about the wide receivers, and I don't know that they have a lot of answers at that particular position.
Sure.
But I Mason Graham might be the least talked about top five draft pick I can ever remember. And the Browns have had a lot of top five draft picks.
They have, yes. Quite a few. It's an annual occurrence.
Well,
nearly
regular occurrence. It's not groundbreaking when they have a top five pick, but like no one's really talking about him. Carson Schlesinger, who was their first second round pick. That was our
33 overall?
Yeah, that was our second oh my moment. So we had four.
Yeah,
oh
I did not know who that guy was before they picked him.
Yeah, we had four oh my moments during that draft. Trading out of two at Jacksonville, giving up Travis Hunter, and then sliding down to five and taking Mason Graham, getting the Jaguars' first-round pick next year. Then Carson Schlesinger being picked in the second round. Then them picking Dillon Gabriel in the third round. And then I think you can figure out what the fourth and final oh-wow moment was, and that obviously us being in the middle of an introductory press conference of their draft picks, and they trade up and draft Shedeur Sanders, and then we wrapped up that press conference in rather rapid fashion. With all due apologies to those rookies, it hit the fan in the middle of the draft, and they ultimately ended up making that trade for Shedeur. So we had four oh my moments in that draft. And I also, the other thing, aside from me, as far as the defensive line and linebackers, is the rookie class in general. Like, Harold Fannin Jr., I think, is going to be a significant contributor.
Sure.
But the rookie class this year, even with Quinshon Judkins going through his legal issues and the fact that he's not signed, and that's all got to work itself out, and we'll find out what the NFL does as far as his permitted availability come week one. I honestly feel there's a lot to watch in this training camp that has nothing to do with the quarterbacks.
Right, and I think there is stuff on the offense that has a lot to watch that is not quarterback-centric. And I look at what this offensive line is going to look like. Having a new offensive line coach after last year was just an abject disaster at that spot. And getting back to the scheme that Kevin Stefanski ran so well when the Browns were good under him a few years back, that is the one thing that I look at and say, okay, aside from the quarterbacks, could this be the thing that we look back on this training camp and say, you know what, that was a really good sign a few months ago when we do get into the season, that we saw flashes that the offensive line maybe didn't look like it did during the 2020 season when the Browns were sort of at their peak with Kevin Stefanski in this right. zone running system. But does it look much closer to that than it did the 2024 season? I do think that we could be talking about that in a positive way. And if that is the case, that is the one thing that would make me feel as if, okay, the Browns are maybe going to be a little bit better than I personally am anticipating them being.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Browns veterans reporting today as if they haven't already. Some guys I'm sure have been around, so good to go. Tomorrow, Andy, expected to be on the practice field. This is the real deal. I think 26 of the NFL teams have their players reporting today. This is the official day.
I can feel the excitement. You're like oozing with enthusiasm.
Well, it is exciting, isn't it?
It is. I'm ready to go. How long? What are we? August 8th? Is that the first preseason game? I'm trying to remember. It's right off the top. I had it memorized there for a second.
Did you?
Let's go, man. Let's go.
Memorized for a second. Then it really wasn't memorized. It was just a thought in your head.
Yeah, it was kind of a quick one. But it can't get here fast enough. I'm ready. I mean,
you've been saying this for a while. Why are you so pumped?
Because I'm pumped for everything. Like, let's be honest. You know, the Browns have four quarterbacks. No one knows what this thing's going to look like. There's a lot of mystery and intrigue with what's going to happen. And, you know, somewhere deep down in my distorted Cleveland-based sports football mind, I believe that they have a chance. And wouldn't it be great if one of these guys jumped off the page and helped this team actually win? There's a difference between reality of what we're going to see and then having hope and desire. And I think Browns fans have had that for their entire life. Plus, I mean, let's face it, Ohio State and Texas, man, come on. And high school football should be super exciting again this year. I can't wait. You know, so it's the whole Friday, Saturday, Sunday fall experience, best time of the year here. There's no question.
Mary Kay will be joining us ASAP. You're talking about the Browns and you're excited, Andy.
I don't care if people tell me there's only five wins. I don't care.
And what did you just say in your distorted mind?
In my distorted mind, they have hope. I have hope every year. They're 0-0 right now. The Ravens are 0-0. The Steelers are 0-0. The Bengals are 0-0. I mean, there's always a chance. That's why I get really bummed out when we start talking about our team's not playing to win or, okay, let's start trading guys off in baseball because just get me to the playoffs and give me a chance. If we get beat in the playoffs, like the most sorry excuse of anything that I ever hear is, we just got to the playoffs. We didn't get very far. I don't care if it's the Cavs. I don't care if it's the Guardians. I don't care if it's the Browns. Get me the playoffs. Give me a chance because I know there are other teams sitting at home as we have year in and year out and watch everyone else play. I'd rather get beat and give up three interceptions in a playoff game for pick sixes. At least we got there.
All right. I understand your reason for optimism, and I feel the same way.
It's Cleveland optimism. It's
the idea of, well, let's see it.
Yeah.
Let's see it. I agree with you on that. You know, every year, some couple of teams jump up and do things that they're not expected to do.
It happens
and,
all the time
exactly.
in the NFL.
And there's no reason to think that it couldn't be our team, except for maybe this.
Why are you guys shooting down my dreams?
I'm not dashing your dreams. I think it would be a monumental effort for this team to be really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible. I'm not going to rule it out. But I stumbled across a couple of things yesterday when I was sitting on the couch after work yesterday. And I just thought, oh my goodness, really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
First, let me give you this one.
Okay.
ESPN. Okay?
Okay.
Overall.
Okay.
ESPN roster rankings. They ranked the rosters of every team in the National Football League. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this was written by a bunch of their different guys. They put it together. Okay? And they had Mike Clay, Aaron Schatz, who's been on our show, Seth Walder, rank every lineup, and then they put it together as a group. Mm-hmm. So the entire roster ranking. How many teams are there in the NFL?
32.
They came up with the Browns being ranked roster 31st.
All right, so we're not in last place. Be an optimist, my friend. Be an optimist.
Just ahead of them, the Carolina Panthers at 30th. And the worst roster in their estimation was the Saints at 32.
Thank you.
This is some of the things that ESPN came up with as they ranked the Browns roster the second worst in the NFL. Their biggest strength, edge rusher. Okay, we'll give them that. Myles Garrett. Biggest weakness, and this is according to Mike Clay, who does a lot of research type writing, a lot of fantasy stuff too. Biggest weakness, quarterback. And he said what we've said before. They say that if you have two starting quarterbacks, you have zero starting quarterbacks. So what if you have four?
Oh, that's four times no quarterback, yeah.
And he said the Browns roll out a rare full-on competition between four underwhelming candidates. Flacco, 40. Journeyman, Kenny Pickett, third round, fifth round. Dylan Shedeur. Mm-hmm. He said perhaps one of the rookies will be a gem, but it's hard to see much upside. The X factor for 2025, according to ESPN, the entire rookie class. And he says Cleveland's not a contender in 2025, so you're going to try and develop these rookies. Can Mason Graham be a stalwart on the D-line for many years? Do they have a successor for Nick Chubb? These questions matter more than wins and losses for the Browns this season.
All right, that sucks.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I don't like hearing that.
You think
that,
it does?
Yeah, that's true. I'm like, there's a part of me that sits here every day, and we have for better part of 14 years now, Jeff. And that's not to mention the years before that when we weren't sitting here talking to each other, talking about this. We were talking to other people about it. We know what the reality is. We have since 99 that it's never been the same as what it was when we were younger. At some point, it's going to turn. And that the generation that now sits there and watches this team will maybe one day get to experience what we felt, even in a non-Super Bowl championship year, to understand what it feels like to make it to the AFC championship, to understand what it means to win multiple games, to understand what it means to have a home playoff game. It's coming. It's going to happen at some point. Well, hopefully we are sure alive and breathing. When the odds, I think, you know, because of the parity in the game, say that it's going to happen at some point. So, and I'm not trying to be like crazy Cleveland sports fan. It's just at some point, this has got to break.
Well, you would think so. ESPN says the non-starter to know. This is interesting, and I think it's a nice choice. Mahmoud Diabate, the linebacker, who last year as an undrafted free agent did a nice job.
And would you say that, though?
Why
the non-starter
not?
To know, if you ask me, I would probably say on defense, Mike Hall, although we know Mike Hall.
Well, I think he might start, maybe. Maybe.
And then maybe
might be Collins.
Jamari Thrash could be the guy on the other side. Harold Fannin could be that guy.
I think Harold Fannin could be that guy. Yeah, I do think Harold could be that guy. So that's ESPN's ranking.
Okay.
They have the Browns at the Browns roster.
Yeah, they don't even show highlights on sports anymore. Do we even care?
31st out of 32 NFL teams.
They put four people on the table and tell them to yak.
But there's more.
Yeah, what?
There's more. Pro Football Focus.
Okay, much more respectable site. Okay.
Oh, you're not going to like it. Release their positional rankings. So they went through and did all of their deep dive analytical stuff and came up with rankings based on who was here, what they did last year, additions and everything else, as to what they think the positions are and where they are ranked. So I'm going to start with the positive. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The highest ranking position group for the Browns, according to Pro Football Focus and their positional rankings, the defensive line, 7th. Pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Linebackers are 12th.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have said that.
Without JOK. Then they even factored that in. I thought, that's interesting. Hmm. And defensive backs are 15th.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you're wondering about safety.
Oh, boy.
You know?
Yeah, I guess.
Can Ronnie Hickman step in and do the job? I think Ronnie Hickman could be really good.
I do, too.
So I'm anxious about that. But defensively, the line 7th, the linebackers 12th, and defensive backs 15th.
So where does that place us defensively in the NFL? Is there a big ranking?
No.
Okay.
They just did positional rankings.
All right.
You ready for the fun?
This can't be good.
They ranked quarterback as just the starter.
32.
29th. Yeah. They had Joe Flacco 29th. And they had Flacco listed as the starter. So 29th, their offensive line the highest ranking position group on the offense.
Okay.
27th.
I think they'll be better than they were last year, so I think that's bloated based on last year. So
they based it on, Andy, you're right, a lot of injuries and the age of four of the five starters, all guys in their 30s. And according to Pro Football Focus, Teller and Betonio, though we like them here and though they've been good in the past, they had them ranked, I believe it was 40th for Betonio and 43rd for Teller out of guards in the NFL last year. That's not good.
I want to see what this O-line looks like with a different O-line coach this year.
I agree.
I don't know how they dropped so far in 1 year.
And Andy, I literally have my fingers crossed for good health for these guys.
Yeah.
I think the offensive line's pretty good if it's healthy. If it's not healthy, and we went over this a week or so ago, they have brought in some guys who should be much more helpful coming off the bench if they need to play. Some veterans with some size and some experience. And hopefully Zach Zinter is more ready to step in a guard if he needs to. Okay, that's the best unit on the offense. The offensive line ranked 27th. Running backs ranked 29th.
Well, why would... Yeah, I don't know why you would have them ranked any higher. First of all, you just lost Quinshon Judkins for probably six games. So let's... When did they write this? Yesterday?
No, it was a little before then, even when Judkins was...
You have two unproven, zero-yard running backs on this team. Why would you give them any street cred?
Because you drafted one in the second round.
So, but that's not... What does that do? Does that make you a middle-of-the-road team? Again, we talk about running backs being a dime a dozen. The process of thinking of having Sampson and Judkins together, I thought was exciting.
Yeah, me too.
Now this is all going to be on Sampson and what Jerome Ford can do. And I kind of hope...
maybe Pierre Strong.
Yeah, and I hope that Ford took this to heart and said, look, they thought two rookies can come in here and do a better job than me. Uh-uh. I want to be the starter, and I want to be a guy that can have as much impact as I wish Nick Chubb. But I'm Nick Chubb. But I think I'm going to try to get as close as I can to where he was.
And how about this? Wide receivers, position group, where are they ranked in the NFL, Andy?
Near the bottom.
Oh, not near the bottom.
The bottom.
32nd.
Judy alone takes me off of that.
32nd.
Are you buying that?
Yes, I am. I think their wide receiving group is just, man, my fingers are crossed and there are question marks everywhere. I like Cedric Tillman.
I hope that's hanging up in the locker room somewhere.
Well, I hope so, too. I hope it's hanging up in the general manager's room. If you want to know the truth.
Well, I'd rather have the players be motivated. The general manager can't catch a pass.
So. No, but he can go get somebody who can. You're counting on Deontay Johnson returning to Pittsburgh form, and you're counting on Cedric being what he was for several games. What do those position rankings do for you? Mary Kay Cabot's going to join us at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock for Mary Kay Cabot, so get ready for that. She had something come up. She's going to join us at 1. What do those position rankings mean to you, folks? Man, they feel terrible to me. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture.
From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians,
follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Mary Kay Cabot's going to join us at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. Andrew Siciliano. Browns play-by-play from the Browns Radio Network joining us at noon. Mm-hmm. We just chatted about some information that's come out. ESPN put out roster rankings, all the rosters in the National Football League. They had the Browns second to last, 31st. Overall talent on the roster, 31st.
So much optimism with your lunch.
Pro Football Focus.
More optimism.
Ranking positions by, you know, comparing him to everybody else in the NFL. Defense, the line was 7th. Linebackers, 12th. DBs, 15th. On the offense, your starting quarterback was ranked 29th. They had Flacco listed as the starter. Offensive line was 27th. Top of the Faber pledge class. Running backs, 29th. Wide receivers, dead last at 32nd. I read all those numbers, Andy, and I thought, 5 years that Andrew Berry has been working with Paul DePodesta on this stuff, and this is where the roster is. Is that an indictment on Andrew Berry and Paul DePodesta? Is it an indictment that one really bad trade deal contract set the roster back that badly?
You did give up a lot of first round picks. Not that they would have done anything great with them, but
four fourths, I believe. Three. You gave up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You gave up a lot. But after 5 years of a regime, and I'm all for patience. I've preached that like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the 31st ranked roster in the NFL, according to ESPN. And your offensive position groups are 27th, 29th, 29th, and 32nd. That's rough. Well, what, how's that sit, Browns fans? 216-474-0092.
There's a part of me that said you give up all those first-round picks, so you should expect this, right? I mean, before this year, the last time we had another first-round pick was, what, Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I know, but that's...
I'm sorry, Jed Wills.
Forgive me, that's one guy. That's one pick a year,
man,
you know? And it's critical.
But it's your most important pick.
Well, without question.
And it defines your draft classes.
But you've got a lot of players on a football team. Even if you had the number one picks, that's three guys. That's only three guys added to the roster. Now, it could be three real critical guys, but it's three. I give the Haslams credit, I think, on this.
So 2020 was his first draft,
for
right?
For being patient.
Is that right, 2020?
Yeah.
5 years, 2020.
I give them credit for being patient, but man, that's a tough. If you look at it, and if those rankings are legit, and to be honest, I think they're pretty close. I mean, I wouldn't rank the Browns roster, you know, that highly. You know, I've been screaming for years about the wide receivers, and Pro Football Focus agrees.
Jeff, who's his best draft pick?
They've not drafted well under Andrew Berry. And to say anything...
JOK's hurt, but I mean, he
but
might
he was
be.
Probably the best guy. To say anything other than that, I think is just being blindly optimistic or not wanting to actually take a good look at it. They've had trouble drafting. I don't think there's any question about that.
Mm. I'm just looking at these names going, what were we thinking?
Well, that's
Michael,
where
I mean, you got
that's where GMs are supposed to build teams, Andy. You're looking at third, fourth, fifth round picks.
Yeah,
there aren't a ton of them that are being major contributors.
This is not good. Why do you do this to me? This is like wanting
I'm
to
doing
go.
It to you.
I'm going out for a steak, and you're bringing me back like
you'd get it done well done days. Anyway.
No, would you stop it? When's the last time I had a well-done steak, Jeff Phelps?
It's been a while because Dan and I convinced you to go.
Absolutely
at least
not.
Medium or
the
medium
Super
well.
Poobah introduced me to medium plus, and ever since then I've been I'm a fan.
I thought Stop it, Jeff.
You've told Dan and me that it was us.
Absolutely not. 100% former Super Poobah.
I would take medium plus on the roster. We don't have that.
If you're at a fine steakhouse, you could do a medium plus butterfly cut. You're good to go, man. Life is good. And when you do the butterfly cut, doesn't it feel like you're getting two steaks?
No,
I think
you're
that.
Getting two thin steaks instead of one great
I
big,
would rather
big,
have,
one.
I'm going to be honest with you, I would rather have the two thin steaks rather than one juicy
That's
one.
That's because you like your steaks cooked a little more well. That's okay.
Butterfly That's right. cut, way
as
to
long
go.
As you
216-474-0092. That's what I'm saying.
I'm trying to
butterfly
talk,
cut.
I'm trying to talk about the Browns.
I don't care, Jeff. I'm at the point now where I don't care. You want to bring up steaks? I'm going all in. I don't do anything half, you know what, other than steaks. I cut them in half. Butterfly cut. Next.
Are we allowed to talk football now?
Yes, we
Browns,
can, Jeff.
Browns
yes.
are, I mean,
Jeff,
be on
you've
the field
absolutely
tomorrow.
Depressed me into the ground as I sit here.
I'm trying to. You
Juwan Briggs,
Jeff.
Was that a good one?
You were optimistic
Isaiah
early.
McGuire.
I get that. Isaiah McGuire might be a player. Might be a player.
Luke Whipler. Cameron Mitchell.
Might be a player.
I'm okay. I'm trying to actually say guys that I thought.
Might be players. It's odd how much they've missed on stuff.
Dawson Deaton. How'd that?
Ooh.
What happened there?
Ooh.
What happened there?
I think he had injury wave, didn't he?
Is that what it was? I can't remember. A lot of guys.
I just.
A lot of names. Demetric Felton.
If you think that if you think the roster is as bad as ESPN thinks it is and as bad as Pro Football Focus thinks it is.
Do you have to care what they think, though? I mean, for the...
Well, let me... Can I just go back? If we could hit the rewind function on the Odyssey app, we would hear you say, who cares what ESPN thinks? And then I said, Pro Football Focus. And you said, oh, good. These are the guys who know what they're talking about.
Maybe. I was hoping for just some more optimism in a land of negativity.
Doesn't it kind of make you think... Makes me think this. Makes me think you've got a good football coach. He's taking not a whole lot and doing okay with it at times. But you went from 11 wins to 3. That's not good either. Brian is in some part of Florida. Hello, Brian.
Brian.
Hey, you guys. Yeah, well, I'm going to call in depression more because this regime. I want to be excited too, but this regime, after 5 years into a rebuild, they went out in week one last year, coming off a playoff 11-win season, and they rolled over and died one quarter into the 2024 season. It's inexcusable. To give you context, the Pittsburgh Steelers have not lost less than four games since the 1950s. So we have become so conditioned to these seasons and punting till next year and the quarterback carousel that will be 2025 and more losses, and we're always punting to some future that never seems to arrive. And I'm tired of it. And can I give you just one example? The Pittsburgh Steelers, even if they had not signed Aaron Rodgers this year, their quarterback would have been Mason Rudolph. Why? Because they're not going to go out and lose 14 games just to see what Will Howard has. They put the best guys on the field every week, every year, and their goal is to win football games. And until we, as a culture, take that mentality, we're just punting to some future that will never arrive. The indictment for Barry and all these guys, this is year 6. I mean, the roster is worse than when they took over. Our cap situation is worse than when they took over. There's no plan. They're just going out there and doing what they do, missing on drafts, on free agent classes. They have 4 quarterbacks. We all know that didn't make any sense in the draft, but we pretend that they have a plan. They don't. And my prediction is 2025 is going to be a quarterback carousel, and that chaos that the carousel is going to lead to another 3 or 4 win season. And then we're going to say to ourselves, what was all this? Because at the end of the day, they're going to be drafting a quarterback number one next year anyway. So I hate to be – I'm out on this regime, and I'm ready for some new leadership in Berea and on the field. And I want that. That's what it's going to take for me to get excited. I unfortunately think this year is just more of what we just saw.
Brian, thank you very much. Passionate phone call from Brian.
Good Will Howard reference. Good Will Howard reference.
Oh, Will.
I didn't even see you press the button. Did you mentally do that?
Are we going to go Goodwill Howard now? We got to get...
Seriously, did you even press the button, or was that just right there?
Listen, man, sometimes I'm decent at what I do.
I didn't even see you move. That was like magic.
Sometimes I hit mediocrity from time to time.
It's like you have a chip implanted in your brain that has drops in it.
Six drafts by this regime. And ESPN says they have the 31st... roster in the NFL.
How much of that is tainted by this Deshaun Watson trade, though, Jeff?
Andy, you could say these drafts were horrible, but one spot,
giving up that first round, I mean, there's a trickle-down effect, too. You're giving up your first-round pick, right? So now you're saying, we don't want one of the best 32 players or allegedly one of the best 32 players in the NFL. We give up on that. But we also have other needs, so we need to draft in other positions. And so now, rather than taking the guy who's one in the top 32, now we're pushing that back to the second round, if we're lucky, if we have a second-round pick, and maybe it's the guy we wanted wasn't there. I mean, it's the whole, like... You know, did one thing affect and it's cause and effect? It's just, and so the effect of making a horrible decision to trade those first round draft picks to overpay a quarterback that has given you absolutely nothing has been devastating. And the owner admitted that. Swing and a miss.
I agree. I think giving the front office a complete pass because of one.
I'm not giving them a complete pass.
No, I didn't say you were, but I think some people do. And giving the front office a complete pass because of one deal where you gave up, certainly you gave up draft choices, that shouldn't trash the entire roster if you're doing your job well
and
in the other areas.
Steve Martin in the jerk being guess the fooler and giving you that little place where you can pick You know what you got to pick.
I'm not sure what that all meant. Yes, Levon's in Cleveland. Hello, Levon.
You get it, don't you?
Levon, come on over and win some crap.
That's right.
Go ahead, Levon.
Hi, Levon.
Levon, sorry. Yeah, okay. The Browns, they're going in the right direction, having a quarterback competition and signing Myles Garrett. But the main problem is still there in the organization. Kevin needs to go. You need to get the coach from the Dallas had and try to move on. Deshaun Watson, he signed the deal and he got the money. So we got to play on that. So we got to let things go. You got to let those two things go, the quarterback and the coach.
All right, what about the guy who put the players on the field for the coach to coach?
What about the cap restrictions on the that you have now that you're going to make your life a lot worse if you just let him go right now? You're going to make things worse if you cut Deshaun.
You got to straighten that out, though. You got to get rid of him.
You got to wait. Yeah, you got to wait to do it, though. Otherwise, you're absolutely – not only are you bad now, you're going to be bad for – instead of 4 years, you're going to be bad for 14 years.
How long has Kevin been here? We got to get a new coach.
He's been here as long as Andrew Berry's been here. I think the coach is the least of your issues on this team.
How many times – although people say he didn't coach them in the playoffs. But how many playoff appearances do we have since 99?
Three.
How many home playoff games do we have?
None.
Thank you. this conversation is absolute. Right. I was in a great mood because of the Guardians, and now I am like,
all right.
Well, we all need to go to Australia where the water flows the other way because we need to figure out a different direction.
All right. Let me ask you this. Everybody says, and ESPN said it, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. If you have four, should you trade one? Opportunity yesterday came up. I'm going to say no, and I'll tell you why coming up. Plus, what in the name of Bob Barker are they trying to sell? If you can connect those dots with golf, you'll enjoy our little next topic coming up, among other things.
Looking forward to this?
You certainly are.
I have no idea.
And the quarterback stuff. Okay, it's coming up on Baskin and Phelps. Siciliano joins us at noon.
During the 1 o'clock hour, we'll be able to hear from Myles Garrett as he'll have his first press conference as things get kicked off in Berea as the Browns get set for this season that has a ton of question marks. And if anything, it's going to be very, very interesting. That's a fair assessment. You may think they're not going to win four games, but if anything, it is going to be interesting. And I mean, if I was a national beat writer, I'd be like, why do I care about who I think is going to be the fourth place team in the North? But I think when the Browns are relevant, the league is good.
NFL.com yesterday, go right to it. Mm-hmm. It said 10 position battles that they'll be keeping an eye on. And the main picture accompanying the lead story on NFL.com was of four guys wearing orange helmets and orange jerseys.
Hmm. It'd be interesting if somebody got a picture of the four of them crossing Abbey Road. Wouldn't that be a cool little quarterback picture?
Who's out of staff? Which one's out of staff?
You're an idea man, Baskin.
Ringo, I guess. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Who's out of
staff? No, which of the four quarterbacks?
Would Flacco have to be barefoot?
Yeah, Flacco would probably be the barefoot guy. That would make sense. Hmm. And then they could all go up on the rooftop and throw footballs down at fans. That'd be great.
We hope we pass the audition.
Jeff, how hot is the seat for Kevin Stefanski? I hate to put it that way. I mean, he's 41 and 46. Playoffs, they're, I don't know, what are they? They got one win and a couple losses there. Jeff, it's just, I think it's a weird situation to be in when you are the head coach of the Cleveland Browns right now. I mean, normally, if I told you, take away the last name, take away the team, and I tell you, you're coming off a 3-win season where you couldn't score more than 2 touchdowns a game. Tell me what coach survives that.
A coach who has been given the job of coaching a team that traded for a quarterback who turned out not to be nearly as effective as you thought he was going to be, and a guy who's the coach of a team whose roster is ranked 31st in the NFL. Out of 32 teams, and you didn't acquire the players.
Well, what's the vibe on the fans? Like, there are so many fans that I think it's a. Do you think it's a majority, it's a minority, it's a vocal minority of fans that think that he is the problem? I actually
There's
do not.
There's a big chunk that do.
Yeah, I don't. And I try to, when someone calls up, like, oh, Kevin's got to go, he's got to do this. I'm like, well, let's think about this for a second. Why does Kevin need to go? And then I go back to what you just said. You know, Kevin's just trying to put together the furniture. They handed him these pieces, and sometimes it came without some of the parts. Or some of the parts
came
broken.
You know, all you need is an Allen wrench these days to put together furniture. I mean, that's all it takes.
That is true. I put together a headboard last week. Same thing. All
just
I need
an Allen wrench.
And it came with the Allen wrench. Yeah. That was pretty. Why have we waited so long for just to do the Allen wrench thing?
I don't know.
It's pretty silly. Think about it. All those
years.
Easy
to strip those things, though.
Yeah. So when you look at this season and you say to yourself, Kevin Stefanski, what does he need to do? What does Kevin need to do to make sure he's back here next year? And I'm not going to lie. There's a part of me that if I was Kevin and it didn't work this year or this thing goes completely upside down, I might be ready for, you know, a change of scenery. Because I think there are other teams that would look at him. And he maybe has got to sit out at the end of the year as a coordinator for somebody else. But he'll be back. He would be back as a head coach for somebody.
I think the guy can coach, and we've had numerous people in the industry, you know, former coaches, people who know what they're talking about, who think he's a good coach. I think he's a good coach. When he's given talent to work with, I think he gets the most out of it. And I think we'll see more of that this year. You know, remember, 3-14 last year. What went into 3-14 last year? You lost your offensive line coach. That was a big deal,
yeah,
as it turned out. And that was because you did Bill Callahan a solid. And you also made a move at offensive coordinator trying to do something that was best for probably one person and one person only. And that person was Deshaun Watson. It really wasn't better for the rest of the offense, was it? As it turned out. And it didn't work. And the proof is it didn't work is that you have another new offensive coordinator this year and you're going back to the scheme that you ran before. So I'll be real honest. I have a hard time blaming Kevin Stefanski for that. That said, you roll out another 3 or 4 wins, Andy, they'll be looking for a new head coach. I don't care what kind of votes of confidence you get or anything else,
or you're, what the relationship is.
Right.
Like I think
in this business, it's a results driven business, and 3 wins in a row, 2 years in a row, that'll get you fired. It just does and will, and I would expect if that's the case, Andrew Berry would be in the same situation.
Could Berry hang out a little bit longer than Stefanski?
No.
You think they're a tandem then?
No, I just think one...
They are of one mind, right?
No, I don't even know that. What I do think is if the ownership is going to make a move with one or the other, the thought would be this. Well, while we're at it, we might as well just change it all up. I don't know that they're a package deal. I don't know that they're not. But I would think if one goes, so does the other one. And I think there's more pressure.
Is there a number of wins he has to get this season? If he gets the 6, I think he's fine.
If he gets the 6, he might be fine. I don't know if Andrew Berry would be.
6 or 7? 7. What does Berry need then?
I don't know. I think the roster... I've said for some time, I don't think it's a very talented roster. And, you know, we went over ESPN's rankings yesterday. ESPN had them 31st out of 32 teams. Pro Football Focus had their positional groups on offense, especially 27th and lower. After 5 years of being the GM, that's what you have. I mean, sorry, that's more than just you have Deshaun Watson and you took a big swing and a miss. There's more to it than that. They've done a terrible job of adding, adding skill position talent to this team. And I've said it for years. The wide receivers were ranked 32nd. I'm no football expert. If I can see that they don't have wide receiver talent and question marks everywhere, and they've not fixed it, the question I come up with is why? Why haven't you fixed it? And even though running games are, you know, coming back and being stronger, I mean...
Did you not fix it because your hands are tied behind your back because you gave up the first-round picks?
No.
Is that part of it? I think that's part of it, Jeff.
Well, it might be part of it. The bigger part of it is you drafted guys at wide receiver who haven't played well. David Bell was a third-round pick, miss. Anthony Schwartz, third-round pick, miss. I'm not going to do it, but I'm sure you could go back in those very same drafts and look at guys taken afterwards and think, well, that guy's a lot better. My hope is Cedric Tillman breaks that run.
But your highest,
I like Cedric.
So your highest draft pick right now at the wide receiver spot is what? Tillman, third round?
Your draft pick, yeah.
Yeah, of yours.
Yeah, they haven't bothered to invest, you know, higher picks in that position. That's okay. I like Deontay Johnson.
And that's because Bell's out, too, by the way. Bell's out. That's
I think Deontay, well, but he's not played very well.
No, you got to give him the ball to play well, though. I will say that.
Yeah, well, you got to get open to get the ball.
How do we know he's not open? I'm just asking.
You've watched? I've watched.
I've watched him play before, too. I've seen him open before.
For whatever reason, David Bell's been a non-factor.
That's a fair assessment. I'll give you that. He's been a non-factor. Okay.
It seems to me that guys who have ability become factors. I'm not blaming the offensive system. I'm going to blame the wide receiver.
Although I do think he wants to, I think Kevin wants to tinker with the offensive system again. If you're going to go back and.
Well, he's going to go back to what they did.
Yeah, but heavy it with tight ends. And by the way, you put a fullback back in the system, right?
Great. It's worked for this coaching staff.
I'm good with that. I wonder who that's based for. Is that based for Flacco or Pickett, Gabriel Sanders?
All of them.
If the offense is going to sing, how is it going to sing well? But I telling you, not having Judkins here is not, like, I think that's a punch in the stomach.
The other guys will do fine. I think Judkins has a chance to be special.
So does Sampson, though. I think Sampson has a chance to be something special, too. I mean,
I hope so.
I mean, we're talking about one of the best players in the SEC last year.
Yeah, that doesn't mean much.
Really?
No.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
I think if you can succeed in one of the big conferences, your odds are much greater than they were if you were trying to succeed.
Well, then Dylan Gabriel should be just a slam dunk at quarterback.
Well, I mean, he wasn't better than the guy that went to Pittsburgh who won a national championship. So I can't. I mean, is that how you want to? Dylan Gabriel should be good. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know how you can. How can you give experience before a guy gets to the NFL greater than playing in crowds of more than 60,000 and having success and being able to win and do it in front and have all kinds of pressure because you're in a system, especially with NIL now, where the pressure is great. Is it equal to the NFL? No, but in some cases, you know, you take a look at Shedeur Sanders, he's pay cut to come to the NFL compared to college. Even I thought it was interesting, and not that I normally like to think about anything he says is interesting, but, you know, Johnny Manziel saying, I would have stayed in college because I would have made a lot more money. Yeah, you probably would have and been more successful with a coaching staff that just said, here's the ball, go. Unfortunately, they like to coach in the NFL. They like to take the most intelligent guys with the most skill and the most athletic ability and put them together and try to, you know, have them work in a harmonious tune among them 11 players out there. In college, you can kind of get away with some stuff that you can't get away with in the pros. And so that's why that was a failure and probably should have stayed in college. And, man, I wish you would have because it would have changed the outlook of what our franchise was. But you can't go back on that. You got to move forward with what you've got. And I look at this team and I want good things for them. I'm just scared that it's just not. You're right. The wide receiving core is. It's in the bottom of the NFL.
It's got one player and two big question marks that better come through, or you're going to be weak.
And all lays on what's going to happen with Kevin Stefanski at the end of the season too, because I think that storyline is going to be hanging, you know, from today moving forward till the end of the season. Although wins could dissipate it. If they keep winning, then you don't have to worry about it. Mary Kate Cabot, she'll join us next, and you know where she'll do that right here on 92.3 The Fan. Mary Kate getting set to cover Browns camp.
You know what that song means.
Oh, fired up, Bowen.
Well, Ken normally sings when we play this song, so you're in his seat today. You got to do the same.
Let it rip, Daryl.
I can't sing, but crank it up.
Ken can't sing either. He still does.
Yeah. It's Browns training camp opening day.
I wanted Daryl to sing.
Yeah, no, we're not singing. Listen, 4 hours of me is enough. Me singing within that 4 hours is a little much.
Yeah. Oh, let's see what happens.
Yeah, come on.
And the only way that I would even consider singing, it would require significant amounts of alcohol, which I promise you, during this season, I probably will be drinking.
If we can get some form of a Levert in here, will you sing?
No.
I'll put a signal out to any Leverts in the area.
I have two rules in life.
That's fine.
I do admit that I'm a very self-conscious individual at times. And I do not sing. I do not dance. I do enough in my regular day-to-day life to just utterly embarrass myself with my lack of coordination and various other areas that many of people feel that I'm deficient in. We do not sing. We do not dance. But Danny, it is the kickoff of Browns training camp. I'm sure everybody is pumped and excited. Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy in Mentor. Practice this afternoon around 4 o'clock. Fans are going to be out there. It's going to be like 95 degrees. So wear your sunscreen. Hydrate. You're going to need it. But how jazzed are you for not one, not two, not three, but four man quarterback competition?
I mean, I think that this is the only thing to be excited about with this training camp is to see what these rookie quarterbacks look like, truthfully, because we know who Joe Flacco is. And I think we know who Kenny Pickett is. I know there might be some people that have a little bit more excitement about him and the fact that maybe he could have a season similar to what Sam Darnold had with the Minnesota Vikings last year. And that is not something personally that I buy as a possibility, because I've never thought that he was good. I never saw it with Kenny Pickett, or right. At least with Sam Darnold in the past, you could see a fuzzy outline of a guy that could be pretty good in the NFL. It just, you know, he wasn't able to put it all together prior to last season for the first 16 games with the Minnesota Vikings. But I think that the unknowns are the exciting thing, because we don't know exactly what Shedeur Sanders is going to look like. We don't know what Dylan Gabriel is going to look like. Maybe one of those guys pans out. And I'm not necessarily, Daryl, ready to talk myself into one of those guys as a franchise type quarterback, because if they were, I don't think they would have been drafted in the third and fifth round respectively. But maybe we've got something. We'll find something.
You know,
maybe
what?
They'll look competent in a way that Browns quarterbacks so rarely can.
You know what? Since you mentioned, I think we need to power rank the quarterbacks. We got four guys to pick from, right? I think that we just might have to rank them. Here we go.
Are we doing this going into today? Is this expected?
This is Danny's feeling. What do you feel right now?
Right now, Joe Flacco, number one.
Okay.
Dylan Gabriel, number two.
Interesting.
Shedeur Sanders, number three. And Kenny Pickett, number four.
Ooh.
No love for Kenny Pickett.
I think Kenny Pickett stinks. He's not good. I have seen far too many Andrew Filippone tweets about this guy being good for me to ever think he's good.
Yeah,
but you're going to get a lot of tweets here in a few minutes, too, from relatives.
I think you need to consider the source of those tweets, though. I've seen Andrew Filippone's timeline. Accuracy, not a thing. Okay, my turn to rank the quarterbacks. Ready? Here we go. Numero uno, Joe Flacco. I am going to go Shedeur Sanders, number two. Kenny Pickett, number three. And mostly because I can't see him when he's on the field, Dylan Gabriel, number four. There we go. There is your inaugural 2025 NFL training camp quarterback power rankings, the unofficial Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima quarterback power rankings. I'm expecting those gentlemen, when they return next week, to continue what I hope to have begun, a storied tradition on this show, a weekly ranking of these quarterbacks.
Yes, nobody will ever forget where they were when we ranked the quarterbacks, Daryl.
It is a seminal moment in the history of this show. Look, the quarterbacks are going to take center stage. They always do. You know, look, this isn't Brady Quinn versus Derek Anderson, but It kind of feels that way. It's not Tim Couch, having to compete with just a variety of guys when he was here. But it is unique in the sense that it's a four-man competition. I, by the way, don't buy that it's a four-man competition. No. I have not been shy about saying that. I don't believe it's a four-man competition, not by any stretch of the imagination. Just remember what you touched on. And I mentioned this yesterday. Let's be fair, let's be realistic. And I know, like, for fans, that's not what being a fan is all about. But that's what I'm about. As someone who covers the team, as someone who sits in the chair here in front of a microphone, I just feel that I have a responsibility there. And I'm not going to hype guys unnecessarily, even though I know, like, fans wanted me to wake up this morning and, you know, they're tuning in and they want me to just be all jazzed and fired up and getting behind one of these guys to be the guy this year and take the bull by the horns. I just can't do it. Too many questions. I can make a case for each of the four guys. I can make a case for each of the four guys not to be the guy. But, you know, Dylan Gabriel's a third-round pick.
Right.
Shedeur Sanders was a fifth-round pick.
Correct.
That's not me sitting here taking pot shots at either one of those guys. That's just me trying to look through a realistic lens that I never have expectation that a third-round pick is a week one starter or that a fifth-round pick is a week one starter.
At any position, not just quarterback. At right. any position.
Well, yeah, most any position. You know, maybe if it's an offensive lineman, you might think they can slide in there. But, like, I can't bring myself to do that. And I can't bring myself to sell that to you Browns fans because I just don't think it's fair. Yes, Shedeur has the raw talent. There's no question about that. But I cannot stress this enough. It's raw talent. And also, the Browns went into the draft, and I know the Shedeur, the Shishils, including two of them here at the station, one Jonathan Peterlin, who is Shishil Sr., and then Shishil Jr., my partner on Sundays, Nick Padone, will be upset with me saying this, but they had no intention of drafting Shedeur Sanders. That was a situation where it's the fifth round, you got a couple of picks in your pocket in the sixth and the seventh round, you're just like, we did everything we came here to do. Let's call our friends in Philadelphia. Why not? He's still on the board. Maybe we catch lightning in a bottle. Let's go ahead and draft the kid. Why not? It was a why not pick. And again, I don't say that disrespectfully towards Shedeur, and it's not a criticism, but it is a reality. And there are things in his game that I know organizationally the Browns want to like get out of it. Like they want him to break a couple of habits as well. So I don't have any illusions that he's going to be ready. Now, the moment he takes the field, city's going to go bananas. The country's going to go bananas. All the Shishils are going to go bananas. But I don't feel like he's ready. I don't feel like Dylan Gabriel is ready. They like they like the
so
way.
So what do they like about him? What do they like about Dylan Gabriel? Why was he the guy that they went with before Shedeur? What do they like after seeing him in the minicamp settings, the OTA settings going into training camp? Why is Dylan Gabriel, I think, inside that building in Berea, more highly regarded than Shedeur Sanders is?
They like the physical toolbox. And when I say physical toolbox, I'm talking arm strength. They like the mental aspect. They like how he processes. They like how he sees and feels about the game and whatnot. And look, to be honest, there are things to like about Dylan Gabriel. Like, let's be clear about that. But I don't think it's enough at this level to be successful. And again, it's a third round pick. That's why I feel like this is a two-man competition. It's coming down to Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. They love themselves some Kenny Pickett. Why, I don't get. I don't get it either. I think a lot of it has to do with that he has some sort of the intangibles, right? He played some of the most god-awful, ugly football you could imagine in Pittsburgh. But when the fourth quarter came, despite all that, he found a way to win 6-7 games late.
I think that's just anyone in Pittsburgh does that.
Right.
I don't think it matters who the quarterback is. The Pittsburgh Steelers do that. That's who they are.
Like, he might have been successful in spite of himself and in spite of Matt Canada. Like, that's kind
of... Now, the Matt Canada thing I can listen to because that guy was one of the worst offensive coordinators I can remember in the NFL. So I can listen to that aspect of things. But I cannot look at anything Kenny Pickett has done outside of really one good year as a fifth-year senior in college.
And take it seriously?
Yes, and say that guy is good. Like, if you look at his body of work at Pitt prior to that final year, he was not anybody that was on anybody's draft radar. Like, he was not thought of as a future NFL quarterback. Then he's overdrafted in the first round because he went to Pitt and the Pittsburgh Steelers need a quarterback. And it's a great story, and I understand all that. Gets to the NFL, he stinks. And then he comes, like... He goes to Philadelphia and he's a backup, and that's fine. And we're just, I don't think expecting anything of him is the right thing to do.
As opposed to the Browns quarterback derby, I thought it was interesting that the Giants just went ahead and were like, yeah, Russell Wilson is the starter. No quarterback controversy. We're just going into the season.
Yeah, they've done this with him in a couple different promotional things as well. But did you see the reaction after Jackson Dart? So Jackson Dart, very first pass of the whole entire camp, pick six all the way to the house. And it just... I hate it because in my mind, I'm like, I knew it about Jackson Dart the entire time. And I had to remind myself, like, no, we can't be going that crazy about this.
Is it a step too far to think like that Russell Wilson is better set up in New York than he is in Pittsburgh because he has an offensive coordinator for a head coach? And because Mike Tomlin's just very Mike Tomlin about a lot of things. And I think that holds limited quarterbacks back even more.
Well, they're going to actually try to throw the ball. You know, right. Like that's the biggest thing.
Other than moon balls?
Although Malik Nabers, he had a video that I saw today where he was trying to, they tried to do like a corner jump ball and Russ underthrew him. And Nabers, I thought, showed him up a little bit in the response. He was like, you got to throw that up a little bit deeper. I'm like, Malik Nabers?
I know.
You don't think Russ knows that?
No. Like, I think he knows that, but he's going to make a point.
It was obvious, the point he was trying to make.
He's going from Daniel Jones to Tommy DeVito to Russell Wilson. I think he's a little over that stuff, as it were.
He's like, maybe if I tell this quarterback, he'll actually listen, and he'll actually throw the ball where I want him to throw the ball. I told Tommy Cutlets where to throw the ball, and he ended up throwing it to a completely different state.
To a whole pile of gabagool. I think the Giants situation is better than the Browns quarterback situation.
I guess it depends on what you think. Like so I think Russell Wilson's better than Joe Flacco. I think Russell Wilson right now I would take as a starter if I was trying to win a season's worth of games. I think you take Russell Wilson.
Is that seven or more games?
A season's worth of games is
aren't but, all seasons worth of games? Seasons worth
no,
of games?
Just a season. Just a season. So, like,
so 17
not,
games.
I'm not. Yeah, but I'm not doing it for 34 games. I'm okay. I'm not doing it for four, five, six seasons.
The Aaron Rodgers
for one season. You okay. Give me one season, and I think Russell Wilson might be your best chance. I'd still take Shador over Jackson Dart, though. And I don't know how many quarterbacks into this thing we would take before we'd go Russ into who, Joe?
Yeah.
We're not touching Jameis Winston. Jackson Dart hasn't done anything, so he might fall into just the rookie quarterback category. Like, really, the debate there is Russell Wilson better than Joe Flacco or potentially Kenny Pickett in your mind?
And I think we kind of have to look just to the stats and look at the success. And I mean, he was bad last year, allegedly, and he won 10 games. We do have the order of which they've rolled quarterbacks out of practice. Kenny Pickett gets the first touches.
Yeah.
Then Joe Flacco and then Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
So we got that going for us.
Which is nice.
I will tell you, if Kenny Pickett wins the job, I'm going to have to eat a little bit of crow. But if Kenny Pickett wins the job.
But I don't think you'll have to, though.
Wait, no. And then is bad? You guys are going to have to eat. The Pickett people are going to have to eat a lot of something else. Yep. And you have to enjoy it. You have to smile and say, this is great, you know what, that I'm eating.
Yeah, I like to remind people of that. Just because the NFL team makes that decision doesn't mean it's the right decision. People, because they will. They'll come back at you and be like, see, Nick, you were wrong about Kenny Pickett. It's like, not until he actually goes out there and does something on the field.
Yeah, and by the way,
it doesn't work that way. Stefanski can make a wrong decision.
One week doesn't he's the head do coach. It. It's, you got to do it for 17 games. If Kenny wins, I'll go under the assumption Kenny's going to have the job the whole time. All right, then you got to go do it.
And I know you're going to put the 1 week on there because we all have to, because the Cincinnati glow up will happen forever starts week one. That defense can't stop anybody.
216-474-0092. Let's see here. Eric in North Royalton, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, like, kind of maybe hear a discussion about it. How do we avoid confirmation bias with the quarterback battle? Because you guys were talking before about like, if it's Dylan, Stefanski made the pick. If it's Flacco, people are going to say that, oh, it's just for the fans. But, I mean, one of these guys is going to get picked to be the starter. And no matter what, people are going to say what they're going to say. But how do we know? Is there any way really to know for sure if all four guys were given a fair shot?
That is really, really damn tough. And I think that's an incredible question, Eric. I really do. I don't have an answer right off the rip. I think there's going to be a lot of confirmation bias in that, and I think we just have to be honest about it up front.
Only thing I would say is I think this is where we have to rely on the people that are there every day from a media perspective. And if they're saying it looks like a fair shot and they legitimately believe, Like, it's going to be obvious if at the end of August, every media person that's there is just like, yeah, Joe Flacco was the very, very best. That'll be obvious. And then we'll see and we'll go from there. Now, we are putting a lot into a group of people last year that was convinced the offense was going to be great and it wasn't great. But
yeah, I think the struggle on this one is we'll know in November. If in November, and if because this is there are like 17 ifs on this, but if in November they're a two-win team, it's and there are people in that locker room who feel like it was not an authentic quarterback search. You're going to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. The players will always speak on this type of stuff. Yeah, but like, that part always comes out.
When it doesn't go well.
Right, for sure. No, if it goes great, different story. But if it doesn't, all sorts of veterans will be lined up to go ahead and tell everyone under the sun.
Can I tell you the one that... The only way we're going to find out before that, other than the media pointing it out and saying, hey, this is not a legitimate search and this is really just about Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett or Flacco and or Pickett and Gabriel, it's Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders, if he does not think his son is getting a fair shot at that, which we're talking about all four quarterbacks, if Shador is the guy least likely to get a fair crack at the job. We're already seeing it now. They went Pickett, Flacco, Gabriel. I'm assuming they still went with Shador at some point. If Deion doesn't feel like he got a fair crack, we will hear that very, very early, by the way. I don't think we're even waiting until the regular season.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Deion was at Shiloh's practice in Tampa Bay today. You can tell he's trying to stay away. He's trying to not involve himself because he doesn't want to get it muddied up. But there is, you're 100% right in that if it does start to go, well, if it does start to go a certain way, Deion's going to control that narrative.
We already have videos of Shador throwing what looks to be about a 5-yard out route.
Ooh, how's it look?
Maybe a 7-yard out route.
Talk dirty to me, Nick. Go ahead.
It's a very crisp throw, right? Yeah. Leaves the receiver, but doesn't throw too far, right on the dot there. It's a dot.
Oh, I wanted that.
Can 7-yard?
I do love this stuff.
Can 7-yard out routes be a dot?
Yeah, for sure.
Then it's a dot.
For sure. I love this stuff.
It's Shadot.
You know I love this stuff. I like this stuff in mandatory minicamp, though. I love all the videos that come out. I love watching them just throw against air. I don't know. It's fun for me.
All right, real quick. Cameron in Cleveland. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. I just want to say as a fan, I'm completely exhausted. I mean, we just came out with new brown helmets sponsored by Dude Wipes. Like, as a 3-14 team, like, it's just embarrassing. Like, this organization, they're so tone deaf to fans. But all I have to say is that this regime of Stefanski and Barry, this has to be the last year. Like, there's no more excuses. The time is up. It's getting ridiculous. This is an aging roster that right now, all your star players were drafted by Dorsey. Dorsey, sorry. But, I mean, Barry he hasn't drafted anybody. I mean, his first-round pick, he drafted Chunk from the Goonies. At left tackle, a.k.a. Jed Wills. Then we go on with Twinkle Toes, Greg Newsome. And then he tries to act all smart and say, oh, we draft high-character guys here. Well, your last two-round picks, or your last two-second-round picks, look at how they've been. I mean, high-character guys, right? It's so ridiculous. And this roster it's aging. We're screwed. I don't know, like, in Myles Garrett, he talks about, oh, we're going to win a Super Bowl this year. I mean, really, Miles, you just trashed us. As fans, I feel like we're so stupid. We buy into this every year, and it's so insulting as fans. And I really hope you guys at 92.3 The Fan emphasize on a regime change and just harp on these guys for the whole season because you guys are our last hope in the media.
Well, yeah, we got to run from that one, buddy. Sorry about that. The hate is strong in that young Padawan.
Yeah, I was going to ask him, hey, yeah. What do you think about the branding of Alpha Dog? But I got worried he'd audibly shoot me.
I know. I think there are fans out there, and young fans. Like, Cameron sounds like a young dude. I was going to ask him before we had to dump everybody on the station, dumped him. I was going to ask him how young you are, because he sounded incredibly young.
I stayed right here.
To be, then I did, we did the double dump instead of the triple dump, as it were. Also known as the Alpha Dog.
That's the Alpha Dump. Brought to you by Dude Wipes.
I'm not. That's the one thing I'll push back is, I actually like the helmet, Cameron. If they were 14-3, I think you would. I think you'd like it as well. The lead coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. The first six games of the season, whether people are overreacting to it or not, and I think one other way that the answer is yes. And again, guys, it could not matter if the Browns aren't good. they're going to lose those one of those six games, or sorry, they're going to lose a multitude of those six games no matter what.
Yeah.
But if they're ready for week one, there's like the Bengals are gettable, and especially early in the season. But to me, I just think it's interesting. I think people have settled in on, you know, after that sixth game, that's the pivot point at the quarterback spot. I still think we might be, there are scenarios happens.
It might be the bye week, by the way, too, because that's usually when a time when a lot of teams just regroup.
Yeah, so I think that's another spot. But I think it's really hard for me to see the Browns go from, we're going to try and win every game we can this year, to we've given up and we're on to the rookies in 6 weeks' time, unless you're like 0-6.
So I think that's interesting, though, because you got to try to find a way to balance that out, right? Now, is it going to the rookies? Is that a waving the white flag on the season moment for the Browns?
Yes, that's exactly what that is.
Okay, because then maybe we're looking at it differently. I'm looking at it like maybe you're 1-5. Maybe if you're lucky, you're 2-4. But it's almost like a spark plug type decision where you're trying to just get a jolt of energy. You're trying to get something.
What's more likely in a season, going to the rookie quarterback as a spark plug or going to the rookie quarterback as like a Hail Mary meets we got to find out what we have the next year?
So I do think this depends on who they go with, right? Like if you go with Kenny Pickett, then what we believe to be true could just be true, that Kenny Pickett isn't any good. And maybe after 6 weeks they find that out and it's like, oh, this wasn't Matt Canada. This was Kenny Pickett just flat out sucking. Let's go to Shedeur Sanders. Let's try to save the season and let's keep this thing moving. Or let's go to Dylan Gabriel and let's try to keep this thing going. Now, more likely than not, you're right. And that usually, if you miss on the first quarterback, the team's probably not going to be very good and the season's probably going to spiral. But that's why they have three other quarterbacks to eventually move to.
I just think with the bye week, week nine, that is like you're splitting the season directly in half. That makes so much sense for me. And now, granted, the next week you do start against the Jets, but okay, yeah, it's the Jets. That's one of the weaker games in your schedule. And I'd rather a rookie quarterback have 2 weeks to succeed. And this, again, this is under the assumption that like, Shedeur or Dylan Gabriel don't win the job right out of the rip.
Well, and at least in this scenario, too, the rookie quarterback is also given the whole stretch with the bye week to know that they're starting. Mm-hmm. I always think that's incredibly tough. And we talk about
unless
it from
it's
time
DTR,
to time.
Then no matter how long you tell him, he's not going to know.
As he keeps claiming, Sunday during the day is when he found out. It's like, DTR, buddy, it wasn't going to make a difference. Like he kept his disappointment long enough based off of that. But no, like I think it matters. Like you go off the loss or off whatever game that is, and then if Shedeur or Dylan know for 2 weeks they're going to be the starter, I think that matters. I think there's a difference there. I think it's incredibly hard to find out on Wednesday you're starting and then turn around on Sunday and make it happen.
I mean, here's the thing. There's so many points where I think you can call out, hey, this is when it's going to happen. This is when it's going to happen. I'm just going to continue to go back to part of my, the first six games of the season are a little overrated here. Part of it is just that's going to be the logical point. Because the only thing that I think if you go 6 weeks in and all of a sudden you're pivoting to a rookie quarterback, it could be hypothetically, oh, we did it. More likely it is Kevin Stefanski might be cooked. Like that, if there's destabilization on the head coach spot, which again, I would be shocked if Kevin gets fired in season. I'd be even more shocked if he got fired that early. But that's really the only way I see them going to rookie quarterback unless it's more than just a quarterback problem.
Okay, but play with that for a second, though, because I think it's a good and interesting point. Like, after week six, you only got 2 weeks before the bye to then showcase that this thing isn't just completely falling apart. And so maybe he would need to showcase that, hey, Kenny Pickett didn't work out, but this is going to be my saving grace right here. And then, because again, the bye week is just so much time. And if there was a move to be made for the head coach, it would happen at the bye.
I continue to come back to, I think the Browns early on, you know me, I still think they're a 3-5 win team. I think they're going to be more competitive than people expect early in the season. And I think we've just flipped it. Like I think we've flipped how this season's going to go in our mind, that there's going to be this lightning up point, and then all of a sudden they start, that's when they're really going to take off. No, I think their chance to succeed in any way is baked in going 3-3 or better in those first six games. And if the O-line's healthy and the defense is number one, if the defense is top 10 to top 12, the way I think people expect some sort of regression to greatness, Well, then there's no, I mean, okay. Yeah. Okay. It's tough schedule. Yep. And good teams, bad teams have also had success during rough parts of their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to subvert the expectations of 5.5 wins, it is completely baked in those first six games. And I honestly, that's another reason why I'm like, I don't see him making those any of the switches, any of the different moves we can talk about until well after week six.
I mean, you go 3-3, and let's say it's Joe Flacco or even Kenny Pickett. If you go 3-3 out of the gate, that quarterback's got to have a pretty long leash, I would imagine. 3-3 against these teams is that's an impressive run, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, I think the more I've thought about it, and again, I'm not going to live to the 3-3. I think there's a really good chance that the Browns are competitive enough, even if they're only 2-7, that you talk yourself into playing a veteran quarterback well past, especially Kevin, who I think is very precious about his veterans versus playing young quarterbacks. And maybe some of this is projecting because we haven't seen Kevin in this scenario yet. I think there's a really good chance that the veteran quarterback, whoever it is, plays well past their welcome for most Browns fans, who there will be a logical part where they go, okay, why are we doing this again?
I think most Browns fans are going to get there by like week four, more likely than not. We're going to be week four, week five, week six. We're going to be like, all right, we're bored with this toy. Can we bring a new one into the mix? There's no
disagree,
thought.
By the way. I mean, granted, the most popular player is always the quarterback.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not even talking for myself personally. I'm talking for Browns fans. I feel like Browns fans week four, week five, unless Joe just looks awesome or Kenny Pickett looks awesome, I think we're going to constantly be in this evolution of, all right, bring me the new toy. Almost like you're just discarding the other one. And all right, here's a new crack at it. At least, you know, I said speaking for the Browns fans, speaking for myself, I think that's one of the more interesting parts of this year is almost having like a conveyor belt of quarterbacks that we just keep bringing new ones in. And then it just kind of gives us a little bit of a jolt. And then we're discussing that one until we're done discussing that one. And then a new one comes in. And that's just kind of our season.
Well, so specific to that, I do think that's inevitably where Kevin himself has to be the last line of defense and where there might be that. So when I said the thing about Kevin earlier about he could end up holding on to the veteran for an extra 2 or 3 weeks past, I think it's because you're going to want to make it from his standpoint for his own job security and just like trying to keep guys engaged. Like you're going to feel the pressure to play one of those young guys because of the new toy. And you could almost become contrarian about it and hold on to it too long. I think there's another chance that this really happens. I think Kevin, for a multitude of reasons, is going to have a really, really, really tough time admitting this season's over because he did last year. I mean, they were trying to win up until the second they pulled the ripcord and went to DTR. And I think that was about final three games. So after week the 14th game. And I kind of feel like this is an even more heightened version of that because of career concerns if you follow up a bad season with another bad season.
It's going to be really interesting because I honestly, there's no part of me that considered Joe Flacco playing as a starting quarterback in week 10, let's say. Week 11. I just it's very hard for me to get there in my head where I look up and it's like, oh. And we've gone through a 2-7 start, and Joe Flacco is still the guy, and Kevin Stefanski is still putting him out there for reasons X, Y, or Z. I think if that happened, I think it would just tell us that he just has no confidence in the other three quarterbacks.
I don't think fans will tire of Joe unless he's why. Like if Joe's making enough big throws and enough big plays and you're just not winning games, I think fans are going to have infinite patience for him versus either a young quarterback or Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, but that's if he's making enough throws. Like the worry I have with Joe is what happened 2 years ago was just the reason why. It was not good in the playoff game. I believe if you played a week after the playoff game, it would have gone very similar to that playoff game. Multiple pick sixes and the wheels start to fall off the bus. Like the perfect amount of games for Joe Flacco that year was right up until the end of the regular season. That's a worry I have with Joe.
Oh, see, I think there's enough goodwill for Joe that I think Browns fans will have some, not a lot, some patience and almost make, I don't want to say make excuses because that we're getting real in the weeds here. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's another reason why I think Joe inevitably will start week one, other than he's just better than Kenny Pickett and he's not a rookie. I think there's a baked in patience with, you mentioned like week four. I think Joe would have to be obviously bad Like, I mean, I'm not talking about like last year. He wasn't obviously bad in Indy. He just wasn't winning games.
He had a passer rating of 90. That's the same passer rating that Aaron Rodgers had last year.
And they had Anthony Richardson when there was a lot of pressure to go back there. If Joe's that same quarterback was last year, they could be 1-8. And they could still feel like they have a chance to win game, a la what I've kind of sold this whole time, the most competitive 3-14 team in NFL history.
Yeah, but I think more likely than not, because I think there's enough people that love Shador still, and I think there's enough people that are intrigued by what Shador can do, that if Joe Flacco just looks like he's getting through the motions, and yes, he's completing some passes, but it just is what it is. While you're losing games, I can see the fan base getting very... Now, but the difference here is that...
By the Stefanski, fan base, are we talking about you?
Me? Yeah, me, definitely. Definitely me. But the difference here is that Stefanski's shown in the past, that man does not care. He has been very resolved in when he makes a decision staying with it and not letting the outside noise creep in or get in there, but it doesn't mean the owner... doesn't feel that way and wouldn't chime in, and then maybe he'd have to listen.
So this goes in 216-474-0092. I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're not getting Auburn in this segment.
That's a good guess by you.
Is six games the obvious pivot point for the Browns this season? I think it's become confirmation bias. I think we've confirmed it too early. I think there's a lot of ways this could go, but what you just said is something I thought about today, and it didn't end up on the sheet. Or this is the ultimate stress test of an allegedly evolved Haslam ownership group.
You know, I love a John Taffer stress test.
On the thought partners themselves. And if you even want to throw, I don't even know if Deepa Desta is still around. We'll find out.
He's at least in San Diego.
He's never really left San Diego.
That's exactly right.
But, I mean, I do think that this season I think there's a lot of ways this season goes that it's the ultimate stress test. And we're truly going to find out how committed Jimmy is to these two, how committed they are to each other. And I don't think they've ever faced, I don't think last year was this season, because I think they could look at each other and go, that's Deshaun. This is an all for one, one for all turns into all for themselves kind of season. If they go anywhere from 3-5, and given how that looks.
I mean, there's a reason why the national pundits out there have spoken publicly about the idea that they think Haslam will step in if it starts to go poorly. And I don't know if he will or won't. I really don't. It feels like he's given both Barry and Stefanski the flexibility to be able to like perform their jobs. But it's Haslam. He goes rogue.
How long?
He constantly goes rogue.
I mean, he hasn't gone rogue for like... Is it a couple years now?
Yeah, what a run on.
We haven't gotten the old John Dorsey okie doke, the Hugh Jackson okie doke, Sashi Brown, Ray Farmer okie doke.
Well, I mean, you could make an argument he did step in and tell him to fire Alex Van Pelt.
I don't think
because all reports were Stefanski still wanted him around, and that was just a season ago.
Yeah, I think that might have been the front office, and maybe that was involving.
Maybe, I don't know.
Again, the absolute Teflon shield. No GM, no head coach has ever been given the benefit of the doubt and just spotless record compared to the job they've done because, well, the owner. I mean, this is really like we're talking about like Al Davis level of.
Well, hey, thank goodness we got Ken Dorsey in there. He really, that was genius.
I mean, hey. It almost worked.
You know, we don't talk enough about that, by the way. Just what an absolute disaster that was in so many. We just bypass it all. I think a lot of Browns fans have even forgotten Ken Dorsey existed. And it was just last season.
I forgot him, too. It's the same way as a quarterback, by the way.
It wasn't that far.
It was the same way. I forgot about Ken Dorsey, and I forgot about Ken Dorsey, the quarterback. 216-474-0092. So the conversation we're having, we started the show talking about the idea of the start of the season and whether we're overrating the difficulty there.
Because I still think it's ridiculously hard. I don't want to make that clear.
Ridiculously hard is just too much for me. But is the after game six, is that the obvious pivot point for the Browns this season? And I think we've got somebody on the show leaning into speed and flexibility. I'll tell you who that is in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.